Tim Walberg, Congressman, how are you?
Tony, I'm doing fine. Hope you are as well.
I'm doing very well this morning. You in Michigan or you in D.C.?
I'm in Michigan. In fact, downtown Eaton Rapids right now, just prior to a coffee town hall we're doing here.
Oh, well, tell us about it.
Well, it's 8 o'clock, Evelyn Bay, a coffee shop here, or the former Evelyn Bay coffee shop. So anyone is invited. We'll have the opportunity to give a short update on what's been going on in Washington, but the majority of time just take the comments, questions, concerns of the citizens of the 7th District who reside here in the Eaton County area.
People let you have it at these events?
Some do. it goes with turf. You put yourself up to represent 700,000 or so people in Congress. You got to be willing to take the good with the bad, and frankly, it just gives a better lay of the land for a legislator to know what he or she should do back in Congress.
All right, let's talk about the small business tax cut. I know you've been working on that. Where do we stand?
We passed it yesterday in the House overwhelmingly, and it now goes to the Senate. Sadly, there are 27 other bills that sit in the Senate that deal with job providers, and they just languish in front of Harry Reid's desk. So this may be another one. I hope not. It gives breaks, 20%, basically a 20% tax cut to businesses of 500 or less, and those are the businesses that employ the majority of your listeners and my constituents, Tony. And frankly, if we can give them breaks right now, we help everybody. At this time, when we see a bit of a turnaround here in Michigan, we see a bit of a turnaround in the United States, but still not where it should be. And so let's help the job providers so they can help the job fillers, those employees that want to work and want to have some security in their work efforts as well.
From your perspective, why is this going to languish in the Senate?
Well, it appears that the administration and Harry Reid have had a talk at some point in time saying if we can run on a do-nothing Congress, we don't have to run on our own record, which seems to have problems in the polls. So let's do it that way. And when I run for re-elect as a president, I can say, if I had a Congress that would do something, would move something forward that I could sign, that could get things happening, then we would have success. So give me a Congress that will do what I want them to do, and give me a chance again, and we can show you what we really wanted to do that we told you we could do when we were elected back in 2008. That's a sad commentary, but that's the only thing I can conclude that it is, because if indeed Harry Reid wanted to get something done, he could at the very least disagree with our bills, amend them. He has the votes. The Democrats control solidly the Senate. They could amend it and send it back to us. We could go to conference committee and we could talk about things in a compromised fashion to get something at least done and moving forward. But for the most part, they've been unwilling to even do that.
So why even be in session if you know nothing is going to get done, at least until the next election?
Well, that's not the opportunity that we have. We have been sent there to do something, and those of us who are willing to attempt that, I think at the very least we're responsible for putting forward solid legislation and showing what could be done at the very least if given the opportunity in the next go-around. And there's always a chance, because each house is made up of individual elected senators or U.S. Representatives. And at some point in time, people in town halls like the one I'm going to have here may get through to some of these senators and say, "Hey, listen, if you don't push to do something and start getting something done, at least moving the ball forward to passing a budget." It's been over, we're talking over 1,100 days now since the Senate has passed the budget. We passed two this past term already and sent to them. Some constituents may finally get the senators to go back to Harry Reid and say, "Hey, we're bolting from your leadership if you don't move this." So that's always a chance. But on the other side of the ledger, I was reading an article by Thomas Sowell just yesterday where he indicated that we have seen some improvement with nothing getting done in Washington, and maybe sometimes that's the best thing that can happen, that Congress can do no more damage even though they don't get anything done. I don't think that's the best way to do it, but at least we haven't altered or made things worse by what we've done.
Should the wealthy, those who make more than $1 million per year, pay more than the rest of us?
Well, I think the question ought to be, should we make it an opportunity to be prosperous for everyone in this country? Should we make sure that we don't have a situation where almost 50% of our adult population don't pay any federal taxes? That doesn't speak of fairness either. I think if we do things like Clinton and Reagan did in the past and did it with great success, cutting taxes but also reducing spending, that we saw an economy rebound and revenues increase for the government, but more importantly, revenues increased for the lower class, middle class, upper class all together, and we had an economy that promoted security and opportunity for people to have jobs and being out doing things that, frankly, I think, Tony, most of us want to do. We want to be gainfully employed. We want to carry our own weight. We don't want to be carried by someone else. And I think that's the issue we ought to look at and make sure that whatever tax structure we come up with, I personally supported the one we moved forward in the House Republican budget that took the multiple taxpayer rate systems and down to 25% and 10%. That certainly said those that had a larger ability to pay would still pay more, but it would be still a savings from what they're paying now that gives more security to provide jobs for those now who are either underemployed or unemployed who want to be gainfully employed and moving forward.
All right, Congressman, I've got 17 more questions for you, which include texts and emails, but I have got to get to a hard break. Let Sarah know that the next time you're in town, we would love to have you come in studio, have a cup of coffee with you and chat.
Yeah, I would enjoy that too, and I'll tell Sarah that, and thanks for having me on this morning.